I'm Rick Moore, and this is Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore, brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, and by the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. All right, it's great to be back now with Salem City Councilor Conrad Prosnewski, of course, a longtime police officer in the city, and a big help to me when I was at WESX Radio many years ago. Conrad, welcome back to MSO.
Nice to be back, Rick.
Yes, it's good to be vertical, man. I'll tell you that. I'm still in line to get the vaccination, but Conrad, I wonder, there's so much to talk about. I wonder if we could maybe just kind of reminisce a little bit about how you're looking at things now after 1 year as a ward counselor, and how you maybe what you perceive going into it, because obviously no one could have predicted what happened in this past year. So maybe a little reflection on your thoughts about that.
Right, and I think that's what made things difficult. You know, and I realize that it's been over a year now that I've been in office, but still I feel like a rookie because of this COVID has sent us all indoors and kind of shut us in and put walls up, and our meetings are done by Zoom, which is kind of a very impersonal platform, even though we're getting things done. I just don't feel like I'm getting the experience I would if we weren't locked up like we are.
Well, one of the things I'm guessing in your career, Conrad, is you were out into the community. I mean, you were out there talking to people face-to-face, businesses, schools, on the street, wherever. And that's got to be quite a change for you.
Yeah, it's the rules of engagement with the city council compared to what the rules were in the police department that kind of had me scratching my head because, on the police department, you know, we all had our very black and white job descriptions. There was a chain of command. People were answerable to somebody. And, in politics, it's more like a free-for-all. It's a different arena. The communication is a little more difficult. I give some of it to some of the fault of the pandemic too, that we just can't be as an open and honest as we would be as if we were in person. But, I think if you were going to put one finger on the differences between police work and being a councilman, it's the inability to communicate due to several factors, including the open meeting law, which kind of keeps you from meeting with in a group privately and being able to discuss things and yell and scream at each other without without the public watching. And you know, I'm not big on yelling at anybody in public. I'd rather do that in private, and that's a difficult thing to do on the city council.
Oh, I hear you. What about dealing with ward issues and then maybe city issues? I'm guessing city issues is pretty much that comes down, you know, through agendas and through Zoom meetings and so on. But what about people in your ward? How has that been working?
Yeah, so the wards, I kind of similar to the police department, we have ward counselors, which would be like having the beats of the officers who patrol their areas and are responsible for their areas. The ward counselors are responsible for their areas. So when an issue arises, if someone calls me about an issue, the first thing I would do is go to the ward counselor to see if they knew about the issue or what was being done, if they needed any help with the issue from my end, if I could be any support, and we would bang heads on how to how to address the issues, and that works. That's one part of it that seems to work. And every ward counselor that we have very well versed in the unique issues of their wards, and the wards are unique. You know, we're a diverse community. Each different area of Salem has its own challenges and has to be represented correctly.
You have an absolute United Nations in Salem in a small geographic area, that's for sure.
That's true, exactly. True.
Well, you know, you mentioned a little earlier communication, and Dustin Luca in the Salem News has an article here that commented or at least covered city council meeting this week, and the headline says communication is key to stopping violence. And if anybody knows more about communication and police work than you do, I'd like to meet him because, you're public information officer all those years, as well as, I said, being out in the street, being a captain, and so on. Conrad, the thing that stood out to me in the article is the misinformation or the harm that social media can cause. And I'd like to maybe give me your reflection on that, because you've been through all kinds of media changes over the years.
Right. Being a public information officer for so many years, you know, I learned through experience how misinformation can rocket people's anxieties, and people start to take on their own ideas of what is actually happening if the information isn't out there, proper, correct information isn't out there for them to sink their teeth on. They start to get their own ideas. The media does this too. They start to make their own ideas up of what could be happening, what possibly could be happening, and it kind of feeds into the fire of anxiety and people's levels. I think it's extremely important that when we have an issue that arises that's of public concern, that we get as much correct information out there as possible, as quickly as possible, so that people don't start to veer off in the wrong directions. And the perfect example of that was this incident that happened over on Highland Avenue a couple of weekends ago, when we had what turned out to be a young man with a BB gun came out of the woods behind Walmart and shot out the window of a piece of construction equipment that was left over there for the weekend. And the report came in that someone came out of the woods with a shotgun and was shooting at cars. So, of course, the police mobilized correctly and did exactly what they had to do. The area is right on the border of Lynn and actually Peabody, because if you walk through the woods, you're at Spring Point and Peabody. So we had multi-agencies respond. We had a lot of officers respond because we have somebody shooting a gun up there. But what happened was the misinformation started to go out there that it was an active shooter. People were on Facebook trying to do a blow-by-blow of what was going on. They were taking pictures of all these police officers with rifles. They were really amping up the anxiety of the people, you know, shelter in place, everybody lock down your homes, you know, we've got a crazy gunman out
there. Oh my goodness, yeah.
That was what was going, you know, that was what was being portrayed by the people that really didn't know what was going on. And you know, not only that, but what people don't understand is when you start filming and broadcasting an incident as it's happening, you could be jeopardizing the safety of the citizens and the police, you know. Especially when you're giving away, you know, where police officers are, what they're wearing, their tactical positions, you know. There's concerns about that. So that was brought up during the public safety forum that we had with the city council. And I kind of think I think people understood that what happened on that day wasn't done correctly.
You know, that's all so important. I think some of the anxiety that's caused in social media in so many different ways is really at a peak right now. And I just, you know, my being new to this kind of thing in the last 10 or 15 years versus radio, I will listen to the scanner. I'll troll Facebook and Twitter. And so many times, including yesterday, so many times the information is so bad. I was listening to the scanner. There was a fire close to my neighborhood. And on Twitter, it said that there were cars on fire and a boat was fully engulfed, and it gave the address. So I went over there, and I know, you know, I have pretty good connections with the fire department, but I keep my distance. I stay out of the way. And after the incident was over, I talked to the chief and to the deputy in charge. And there was one car that caught on fire, and there was a garage that was damaged, destroyed actually. But the information was so wacky on Twitter and on Facebook that, you know, it looked like the whole neighborhood was burning down.
Right, yeah, and that's common. That's exactly what happens during these things just take on a life of themselves, and people add to the rumors and add to the color of the story, and the next thing you know, you've made a mountain out of it.
Well, with these phones, Conrad, anybody can go out there and you, as you said, they can do it live. I would never do that, but people do. They'll be on the scene filming and speculating. Well, you know, it's good that the city council has taken that up, and I hope that more city councils and select councils do that. and maybe just educate people. What we need, correct me if I'm wrong, as a former educator, we need a course on civics online, on social media civics, I think, so that kids at a young age can understand the implications of what they're doing.
Exactly. You're right. That's a very, very good point. I think that's something that should be taught, because there's a lot of unintentional harm caused by that issue.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I don't think it's malicious. I think people just want to be the first ones to get out there and tell a story, they don't realize that what they're doing is opening up a Pandora's box.
Well, even what you said just educated me about giving away positions and giving away tactical gear or what that, I didn't even think of that, and I've been doing this for a long time, so the education is necessary. Conrad, I've been talking with you for a while. I don't want to keep it too much longer, but some good news coming out of Salem. Well, there's a lot of good news coming out of Salem, but a major piece of good news is the search for a new police chief looks like it's really picking up some steam and headed in a kind of an amazing direction.
Yeah, it is. I was proud to be put on a selection committee for that, and we have four candidates that we interviewed on Saturday and Sunday. We have a good panel, four very, very qualified people who understand the job and its challenges. Of course, you scratch your head who wants to be a police chief these days, but these people are pretty much on the ball. We had a gentleman from Seattle. We have another gentleman from New York. We've got a Peabody police captain, and we had a North Andover police lieutenant. All of them spoke well, and we're right now in the process of putting together our thoughts on each candidate and putting our reports into the mayor, and she'll make the final decision.
Any timeline on when that might happen?
Well, I know that she's publicly stated that that she should have a decision made by the end of the month. I know that she's asked that our reports come in by the end of today, so she's going to start looking at what we've all written. And there were 10 of us on the selection committee, so she's got some reading to do. But
yeah.
I expect that she's going to be right, that we should have an answer by the end of the month.
All right, and I think finally, I just like your comments or thoughts on businesses, schools, neighborhoods, and that kind of thing in Salem with the region and perhaps the world seeming to come out of this pandemic cloud that we've been under. Are businesses, what do you see with regard to the businesses in town, Conrad?
Well, as you know, Salem, has, our downtown area and our restaurant, we thrive on that, and that's been hit pretty hard. We're all looking for this light at the end of the tunnel when we decide to open up and try to get back to normal, because Salem counts on that, I think, more than some other inner communities. The challenges lie with the current administration, and frankly, I think the mayor's done a pretty good job of getting people connected with the ability to seek some kind of relief from different agencies. We have Salem Representative Paul Tucker, who's gone out there and done a good job of staying connected with the businesses and assisting them as much as possible. So I think Salem has done an admirable job, as much as they could, in trying to help these people during this time. And hopefully when it's all over, we bounce back quickly.
All righty. That is Salem City Councilor Conrad Prosnuski. This has been Connections, a podcast connecting you with news, newsmakers, sports, and entertainment voices all over the North Shore. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. By the Institution for Savings, based in Newburyport, with branches throughout the region. Connect with Connections by emailing msonewsports@gmail.com.